Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Fake Will, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Ink of Deception. The rain came down like judgment, relentless and cold, hammering the stained glass windows of Hollowbrook Funeral Home until the saints depicted in the panes seemed to weep. I sat in the front row, my black lace veil clinging to my cheeks like a spider's web, staring at the casket that held what was left of Martin Blackwood. 62 years old, rich as sin, and dead of a sudden heart attack that left his lips tinged faintly blue. A detail only I noticed. A detail I'd paid to have overlooked. The room reeked of lilies and hypocrisy. Martin's children, Clara, sharp-boned and serpent-eyed, and James, broad-shouldered and perpetually sneering, sat across the aisle, their hatred for me simmering beneath their designer mourning clothes. They'd never accepted me, the gold-digging stepmother who'd married their father 8 months after his first wife's suspicious drowning. But then again, I hadn't married Martin for their approval. Evelyn, a skeletal hand touched my shoulder. Margaret, Martin's sister, leaned in, her breath reeking of gin. You look ravaged, darling. But then, grief does suit some women. Her gaze flicked to the diamond brooch pinned to my collar. Martin's mother's brooch, now mine. I let my chin quiver, a tear slipping down my cheek. Thank you, Margaret, I whispered, clutching her hand like a lifeline. I don't know how to go on without him. She recoiled, disgusted by my performance. Good. Let them all think I was a simpering fool. Let them underestimate the widow in black. The lawyer arrived last, a hunched vulture of a man named Mr. Graves, carrying a leather briefcase that held Martin's will. The room fell silent. Clara's polished nails tapped her kneecap like a countdown. James cracked his knuckles. And I held my breath, my heart thrashing behind my ribs. This was the moment. Graves cleared his throat, his voice like parchment tearing. Per the wishes of Martin Alistair Blackwood, deceased, we shall now read his last testament. He unfolded the document, and I leaned forward, my gloved hands trembling, artfully trembling. Clara snorted. Get on with it. We all know she's got her claws in it. Graves ignored her. To my sister, Margaret, I leave the sum of $50,000 and my collection of vintage cognac. Margaret's lips pursed. A pittance. To my brother-in-law, Harold, I leave the lake house in Vermont. A choked gasp from Harold, who'd been begging Martin for that house for years. Then silence. Graves adjusted his glasses. My pulse roared in my ears. To my children, Clara and James. Clara sat straighter, triumph flaring in her eyes. I leave the sum of $10,000 each, and my hope that they find the humility their mother lacked. James shot to his feet. What? Graves continued, unflinching. All remaining assets, including the estate on Willow Lane, the stock portfolio, the art collection, and the majority shares in Blackwood Industries, are bequeathed solely to my beloved wife, Evelyn Marie Blackwood, to whom I owe my final years of happiness. The room erupted. Margaret shrieked. Harold shouted about lawsuits. Clara lunged across the aisle, her hand snapping out to grab my veil. You lying bitch, she spat, her French perfume cloying as poison. You forged this. You killed him. James yanked her back, his face purple with rage. We'll tear you apart in court, he growled at me. You'll rot in prison for this. I crumpled into myself, sobbing great, heaving sobs that shook my shoulders. Please, I just want to honor Martin's wishes. I reached into my clutch, pulling out a handkerchief monogrammed with Martin's initials. A prop. He told me he wanted to make amends. That he'd been too hard on you both. Liar. Clara's voice cracked. He hated you. He told me he was changing the will. He was cutting you out. A flicker of fear licked my spine. Changing the will? No. Impossible. I'd monitored him. I'd paid the housekeeper to alert me if he met with lawyers. I'd burned the original will myself, the one that left me nothing, and replaced it with this masterpiece. But Clara's rage felt rehearsed. Her tears too sharp. Graves slammed his fist on the podium. This document is legally binding. Any challenges will be settled in probate court. Now, if you'll excuse me. He hurried out, clutching the briefcase. The family descended on me like vultures, shouting, jabbing fingers. I let them. Let them think they'd won the battle. But as I fled to the parking lot, heels clicking on wet pavement, a hand seized my arm. Clara. Her grip was ice, her smile venom. You're not half as clever as you think, Evelyn. She leaned in, her lips grazing my ear. Sleep lightly. Then she was gone, swallowed by the storm. I slid into my car, hands steady now, and opened the glove compartment. Beneath a stack of registration papers lay the real forgery tools. A scanned copy of Martin's signature, a vial of his cologne to mask the scent of fresh ink, and a burner phone with a single contact, Graves. I dialed. It's done, I said. Transfer the final payment. Graves chuckled. You're a piece of work, Mrs. Blackwood. Let's hope the courts don't ask too many questions about that codicil. I stared at the funeral home, its windows glowing like a tomb. They won't. I made sure of it. But as I drove away, the rain blurring the world into shadows, Clara's words slithered through my mind. Sleep lightly. I wouldn't sleep at all. Chapter 2, The Ghost of Truth. The mansion felt like a tomb. Martin's absence seeped into the walls, the floors, the gilded mirrors that now reflected only shadows. I wandered the halls for days, my silk robe trailing behind me like a shroud, the echoes of my footsteps a hollow reminder of the silence I'd bought. But silence, I'd learned, was a liar. 3 days after the funeral, the courier arrived. I watched from the upstairs window as the young man in a crisp blue uniform approached the wrought iron gates, his motorcycle idling on the gravel drive like a wasp's nest. The security intercom buzzed, sharp and insistent. Package for Evelyn Blackwood, he said, his voice crackling through the speaker. My throat tightened. I hadn't ordered anything. Martin's lawyers had already sent the estate documents, and the family wouldn't dare contact me unless it was laced with arsenic. Leave it at the gate, I ordered, my finger jamming the intercom button. Needs a signature, he insisted. Corporate policy. Corporate. The word slithered into my ear like a threat. Blackwood Industries. I descended the staircase, my bare feet cold against the marble, and slipped a steak knife from the kitchen drawer into the pocket of my robe. Paranoia? No. Survival. The courier's smile was too bright, too practiced, as I scribbled my name on his tablet. The envelope was thick, cream-colored, embossed with the golden seal of Hartman & Krauss, LLP. Martin's real attorneys. Inside, a single sheet of paper. Last will and testament of Martin Alastair Blackwood. Revised, November 12th. A month before he died. The words blurred. To my children, Clara Marie Blackwood and James Alastair Blackwood, I leave my entire estate, including all properties, holdings, and shares. A codicil glared up at me. In the event of coercion, undue influence, or forgery, this document supersedes all prior versions. Martin's signature looped beneath it, unmistakable. The same flourish he'd used to sign our marriage certificate. The same flourish I'd traced 100 times with a forger's precision. Real. The knife clattered to the floor. I staggered back, the walls closing in, the air thick with the cloying scent of Martin's favorite cigars. He knew. He'd known all along. I lunged for the fireplace, crumpling the paper, but my hands shook too violently to strike a match. The hearth was cold, unused since Martin's death, since I'd stopped pretending to enjoy his evening brandy rituals. Burning evidence, Evelyn? I whirled. Clara stood in the doorway, her black coat dripping rainwater onto the Persian rug. She'd let herself in. Of course she had. The locks had never kept her out. Get out, I hissed, clutching the will to my chest like a shield. She tilted her head, a predator savoring the chase. You look terrible. Guilt keeping you up? Or is it fear? I flung the document into the fireplace at last, but she didn't flinch. Copies, darling, she purred, stepping closer. In safe deposit boxes. With lawyers. On the cloud. Her laugh was a blade. You can't burn them all. I lunged for the knife, but her heel came down on my fingers, grinding bone into marble. Pain exploded up my arm. Stop squirming, she sighed, crouching to meet my gaze. We both know you're not the martyr here. She pulled a USB drive from her pocket, dangling it like a pendulum. Audio recordings. Security footage. Every time you whispered to Daddy about his weak heart. Every pill you swapped into his brandy. My blood turned to ice. She'd recorded us. You're lying, I spat. Martin would've. Martin was a sentimental fool, she snapped, her composure cracking. He didn't believe me when I told him you were poisoning him. Not until I showed him the footage of you and that detective. What's his name? Harris? Plotting in the garden. The room tilted. Harris. The crooked cop I'd paid to silence witnesses. To plant evidence. To keep Clara and James in line. You're bluffing, I whispered, but the lie tasted ashen. Clara's smile returned, sharp and gleaming. 50%, Evelyn. Sign over half the estate, and I'll make the evidence disappear. Or what? I challenged, clambering to my feet. You'll ruin us both? She straightened her coat, her eyes dead. I'll ruin you. I'll paint you as the scheming whore who murdered my father. The tabloids will eat it alive. And when the jury convicts you, she leaned in, her lips grazing my ear. I'll visit you in prison. Every year. To remind you that I won. I said nothing. Let her think I was broken. Let her savor her victory. After she left, I crawled to Martin's study, my hand throbbing. The safe behind his portrait, our wedding portrait, yielded cash, passports, and a Glock 19. I traced the gun's cold barrel. Options. But first, I dialed Harris. He answered on the second ring, his voice gravel and smoke. You seen the news? They're calling you the Black Widow of Willow Lane. I need you to plant something, I interrupted. A pause. What kind of something? Drugs. A gun. Something violent in Clara's apartment. He laughed. You're escalating. She has evidence, Harris. On both of us. The line crackled. Costs double. And I want a cut of the estate. Greed. The one language he spoke fluently. 10%, I lied. 15. Done. I hung up, then opened the bottom desk drawer. Beneath stacks of forged tax returns lay the other USB drive. The one I'd stolen from Martin's study weeks ago. The one labeled CC Clara Celeste. I plugged it in. Security footage. Audio files. Bank statements. And a video, time-stamped November 11th, of Martin confronting Clara in this very room. You think I don't know what you're doing? Martin's voice boomed. Siphoning funds? Manipulating the board? Clara, calm as a surgeon, sipped her gin. You'll never prove it. I'm cutting you out, he snarled. You'll get nothing. She set down her glass. You'll change your mind. Or Evelyn will make you. The screen went black. I leaned back, my pulse roaring. She'd wanted me to forge the will. She'd wanted Martin to change it. She'd played us both. But now I had my own evidence. The game had changed. Chapter 3. The Serpent's Bargain. The rain hadn't stopped for days. It sheeted down the mansion's leaded windows, distorting the world outside into a watercolor smear of grays and greens. I sat at the head of Martin's mahogany dining table, a half-empty bottle of Chateau Margaux sweating crimson droplets onto the polished wood. Clara's ultimatum coiled in my mind like a noose. 50% or destruction. But Clara didn't know I'd always been better at tying knots than wearing them. I invited her over at midnight. A time for predators. She arrived in a tailored pantsuit the color of dried blood, her hair slicked into a razor-sharp bob. No pretense of mourning now. The housekeeper, Mrs. Peabody, a prune-faced relic loyal only to Martin's ghost, led her to the study, shooting me a look that could curdle milk. Leave us, I ordered. The old woman hesitated, clutching her apron. Mr. Blackwood wouldn't have wanted. Leave, I repeated, soft as a scalpel. When the door clicked shut, Clara prowled the room, trailing her fingers over Martin's globe, his humidor, the silver-framed photo of his first wife. Lillian, drowned in their swimming pool after one too many martinis. Or so the coroner said. You must miss him, Clara said, not looking at me. All this quiet. I miss the man he was, I said, pouring two glasses of wine. Before the paranoia. The accusations. She turned, her smile a scalpel. You mean before he realized you were fucking the gardener? The chauffeur? The detective? The lie was effortless. Martin's delusions weren't my fault. She took the glass but didn't drink. Delusions? Is that what you call the photos I showed him? The ones of you and Harris in the tool shed. I let my hand tremble, let the wine slosh perilously close to the rim. He wasn't well. You know that. He saw threats everywhere. Clara set down her glass, untouched. Here's what's going to happen. You'll sign over 50% of the estate. Tonight, or tomorrow, the Herald runs a front-page story about your affair with Harris. The pills in Martin's system. The fire in the toolshed last summer that conveniently erased Daddy's surveillance backups. I stared at her. The fire had been an accident. A stray spark from the grill. But Clara's gaze told me she'd rewritten that truth, too. And if I agree, I whispered. She slid a contract across the table. Pre-written. Notarization lines already blank. We part ways. You keep your freedom. I keep my silence. I reached for the pen, then hesitated. How do I know you won't come back for the rest? Clara leaned in, her perfume. Lillian's perfume, I realized with a jolt, clinging to her like a shroud. Because I'm not you, Evelyn. I honor my deals. The lie was beautiful. Flawless. Almost, I believed her. I signed. Evelyn Marie Blackwood. The ink bled. She tucked the contract into her briefcase, then stood. Pleasure doing business. As she turned to leave, I let the facade crack. A single tear. A choked sob. Clara, wait. She paused, hand on the doorknob. What? There's something else. I opened the desk drawer, my movements sluggish with faux shame. Martin kept a journal. He wrote about you. About the money you stole from the company. Her spine stiffened. I pulled out the leather-bound book. A decoy I'd filled with forgeries last night. He was going to press charges. But I convinced him not to. For family. She snatched it, flipping to a random page. My forgeries were exquisite. Dates, amounts, transfers to offshore accounts. All traced back to her. This is garbage, she hissed, but her knuckles whitened. I wiped my eyes. Burn it then. But the lawyers have copies. The board, too. For the first time, Clara looked uncertain. The serpent sensing a larger predator. What do you want? She said coldly. I stood, circling her like prey. The USB drive. All copies. And your silence. She laughed, but it frayed at the edges. You're in no position to bargain. I stopped inches from her, close enough to see the Botox trembling beneath her skin. The journal's just the beginning. I have emails. Wiretaps. A recording of you threatening to smother Lillian with a pillow if she didn't sign the prenup. A lie. But Clara's breath hitched confirmation. You're bluffing, she said. I smiled. Test me. We stared, the grandfather clock ticking like a detonator. Then, slowly, she unclasped her briefcase and tossed the USB drive onto the table. Copies exist, she warned. I'm sure they do, I said, pocketing it. But now I exist in your head. Every deal, every lie, every midnight whisper. You'll wonder if I'm listening. She left without another word, her heels stabbing the marble. I waited until her car's taillights vanished, then spat the tear-inducing eyedrops into a handkerchief. The contract she'd brought? A fake. The notarization lines? Forged. Clara's signature? Traced from a charity donation form. But she didn't know that. I called Harris. He answered on the first ring. Well, she took the bait, I said, flipping through the real journal, the one where Martin detailed Clara's embezzlement. Plant the evidence tonight. And Harris? Yeah. Make it messy. Chapter 4. Blood in the Garden. The storm had teeth. It gnawed at the mansion's slate roof, howling through the chimneys, as if the ghosts of every Blackwood who'd ever died here were screaming for vengeance. I sat in the conservatory, the glass walls rattling around me, nursing a glass of bourbon that did nothing to warm the ice in my veins. Harris's text glowed on my phone, evidence planted. Cops en route. Stay clear. Clara would be arrested tonight. The thought should have tasted sweet. Instead, it sat like ash on my tongue. The garden outside was a chaos of thrashing hedges and drowned roses, the fountain overflowing with rainwater. I'd always hated that fountain, a vulgar marble monstrosity of cherubs and nymphs commissioned by Lillian. Martin refused to remove it. A reminder, he'd said, of where sentimentality leads. A shadow moved beyond the glass. I froze, the bourbon sour in my throat. The security system hadn't alerted me. The motion sensors hadn't flickered. But there, between the lightning strikes, a hulking silhouette stalked the terrace. James. The French doors burst open, wind and rain slashing into the room. He stood dripping in the threshold, his suit clinging to muscles honed by years of rugby and rage. In one hand, a bottle of Macallan, in the other, a fire poker gripped like a baton. Hello, stepmom, he slurred, slamming the doors shut. I rose slowly, my phone slipping into the pocket of my silk robe. You're trespassing, James. He laughed, a sound like gravel in a blender, and swigged directly from the bottle. Amber liquid spilled down his chin. Trespassing? This is my house. My inheritance. You're the squatter. The fire poker dragged along the floor as he advanced. I calculated distances, the panic button under the side table, the letter opener in the desk drawer, the gun upstairs. All too far. Clara's been arrested, I said, stalling. Embezzlement. Drug trafficking. They'll trace it all back to you. He paused, his bloodshot eyes narrowing. Bullshit. I pulled up the local news on my phone, holding it out. A mugshot of Clara, makeup smeared, filled the screen. Heiress arrested in midnight raid, the headline blared. James stared. Then he hurled the bottle at the wall. Glass exploded, bourbon bleeding down the floral wallpaper. You bitch. He lunged. I ducked, the fire poker whistling past my ear, and embedding in the bookshelf. First editions rain down. Shakespeare, Dickens, all Martin's pristine trophies. She set you up, I hissed, darting behind the grand piano. She's been stealing from the company for years. Framing you. A lie, but James was drunk enough to bite. He wrenched the poker free, splintering wood. Liar. Clara's the only one who gave a damn about me. Then why did she transfer $500,000 to your offshore account last month? Another lie, smooth as silk. Why do you think the cops are coming here next? He faltered. I saw it, the flicker of doubt. The Blackwood curse. I pressed, venomous. She needed a fall guy. And you're too stupid to see it. With a roar, he flipped the piano bench. Sheet music fluttered like dying birds. Shut up. Shut your fucking mouth. He charged again. I grabbed the letter opener from the desk, but he batted it away, his hand closing around my throat. We crashed into the Tiffany lamp, its stained glass shards slicing my arm as we fell. His weight pinned me, bourbon and sweat choking me. You ruined everything, he spat, spittle hitting my face. Dad hated you. Everyone hated you. Why couldn't you just die? I clawed at his wrist, vision darkening. You first. My free hand groped blindly through the debris, glass, wood, the fire poker. He leaned closer, his breath a toxic cloud. When I'm done with you, I'll make it look like suicide. Grieving widow, drunk on pills. My fingers brushed cold iron. You'll never be him, I gasped. He reared back to strike, and I swung the poker with every shred of strength. It connected with a wet crunch. James howled, rolling off me, clutching his face. Blood streamed between his fingers, his nose flattened like putty. I scrambled up, gripping the poker, its tip now crimson. You broke my face, he wailed, more outraged than pained. I backed toward the door, my ribs screaming. Get out. Now. He staggered to his feet, a guttural snarl building in his chest. I'll kill you. I'll fucking kill you. I raised the poker. Try. For a heartbeat, we were wolves circling. Then his phone buzzed. He fumbled for it, the screen illuminating a text from an unknown number. Cops 10 minutes out. Burn it. His bloodied face snapped to mine. You're bluffing. I smiled, teeth red from split lips. Am I? He fled, crashing through the garden doors and vanishing into the storm. I waited until his footsteps faded, then collapsed against the wall, trembling. The conservatory looked like a war zone. Shattered glass, overturned furniture, blood smeared across the Persian rug. My blood. His blood. But I'd prepared for this. In the kitchen, I retrieved the emergency kit, needle, thread, hydrogen peroxide. Stitched my arm at the marble island, the pain sharp and clarifying. Next, the security footage. I edited the timeline, erasing James's entrance, splicing in looped footage of an empty terrace. Then, I planted his wallet, lifted during the struggle. In the tool shed, alongside a Ziploc of cocaine from Harris's last gift, by dawn the police would find it. By noon, James would be in handcuffs. But first, I needed to mourn. I climbed to Martin's bedroom, untouched since his death. His cologne still lingered, sandalwood and hubris. In the closet, behind a panel of false wood, lay the safe. Not the one Clara knew about. The real one. Inside, passports, cash, a Beretta Nano, and a manila envelope. I spilled the contents onto the bed. Photographs of Clara meeting with a known arsonist. Audio transcripts of James admitting to assaulting a maid in 2014. And a single sheet of paper. Martin's true final will, scribbled in shaky script days before his death. To Evelyn, my sword and shield, I leave my vengeance. Destroy them. I traced the words. He'd known. He'd known Clara and James would come for me. And he'd armed me with their gravestones. The gun felt right in my hand. Cold. Honest. Somewhere below, a floorboard creaked. I turned, aiming at the darkness. Come out, James. But it wasn't James. Chapter 5, The Masks Crumble. The Beretta trembled in my hand, its barrel trained on the shadow pooling in the doorway. Rain lashed the windows, distorting the figure into a shapeless specter. My ribs screamed with every breath, the gash on my arm throbbing in time with my pulse. Who else had Clara sent to finish me? Evelyn. The voice was low, frayed at the edges. Familiar. Detective Harris stepped into the dim light of Martin's bedroom, his leather jacket dripping rainwater onto the Persian rug. His face was haggard, stubble peppering his jaw, eyes bloodshot and restless. In his hand, a manila folder, thick, dog-eared, dangerous. You're supposed to be gone, I hissed, finger tightening on the trigger. I paid you to disappear. He tossed the folder onto the bed, its contents spilling out, grainy surveillance stills of Clara and James meeting with a wiry man in a diner booth. a face I recognized from the news. Milo Voss. Arsonist. Bomaker. Ghost. You didn't pay me enough, Harris said, his voice gravel and nicotine. Clara offered double. Triple, if I brought her your head on a plate. The barrel of the Beretta didn't waver. And yet here you are. Alone. He smirked, a cracked, ugly thing. I'm a businessman, Evelyn. I let the highest bidder win. He nodded at the folder. Turns out you're both full of shit. I kept the gun leveled as I flipped through the photos. Clara handing Milo a duffel bag. James adjusting the strap of a gasoline canister. Dates scribbled in the margins, the week before Martin's death. They hired him to burn the estate, Harris said. Insurance fraud. But you messed up their timeline by killing the old man first. Lies. I'd used arsenic, subtle and slow. Martin's heart attack had been a carefully staged tragedy. But Clara and James had been planning their own fire. Their own murder. Why show me this? I said coldly. Harris lit a cigarette, the flame trembling in his cupped hand. Because Clara's not in custody anymore. Judge revoked the arrest warrant. Lack of evidence. Your little stunt with the cocaine? Turns out the cops found the same batch in your garden shed this morning. The room tilted. No. I'd planted it in the tool shed. Behind the rusted lawnmower. Unless. Harris. He exhaled smoke, watching me piece it together. You should have paid the 15%. Rage ignited, white hot. I fired. The bullet tore through his shoulder, spinning him into the dresser. Perfume bottles shattered, Chanel No. 5 pooling like blood. He roared, clutching the wound, but lunged for me anyway, a wounded bear. We crashed into the bedside table, the lamp exploding in a shower of sparks. His hands closed around my throat, thumbs digging into my windpipe. You crazy bitch, he snarled, blood soaking his jacket. I clawed at his face, knees scrambling for leverage, and found the jagged shard of the perfume bottle. Sank it into his side. He howled, recoiling. I rolled away, gasping, and grabbed the fire poker from the hearth. You've been playing both sides, I rasped, circling him. Feeding Clara information. Sabotaging my moves. Why? He slumped against the wall, breath ragged. Because she promised me something you never could. Money. Freedom. His laugh was a wet cough. She's got connections. Made my priors vanish. Meanwhile, you've got me planting coke like some two-bit thug. I swung the poker, stopping an inch from his skull. What else did you give her? His smile was crimson. Everything. The forged will. The arsenic receipts. The security footage of you swapping his pills. Ice flooded my veins. He'd given her the noose. But here's the kicker, he wheezed. She's not keeping her end. Cops are coming for me now. That coke in your shed? Trace back to my evidence locker. She's tying up loose ends. I lowered the poker. And you came here to warn me? To make a deal. He spat blood onto the rug. You've got dirt on her. I know you do. We take her down together. Split whatever's left. The detective's eyes were desperate, wild. A cornered animal. I'd seen that look before, in Martin, the night he'd begged me to stay as the arsenic curled through his veins. All right, I said softly. A deal. I extended my hand. He reached for it, and I slammed the poker into his temple. His body folded limp onto the floor. But I don't share, I whispered. Rifling through his pockets, I found a burner phone, a switchblade, and a key card for the Blackwood Industries archives. The last made me pause. What had he been searching for? Downstairs, sirens wailed. Red and blue lights strobed through the broken conservatory windows. Clara's doing. She'd sent the cops to bury me with Harris's corpse. I dragged him to the secret panel in the closet, the one that led to the wine cellar. His body thumped down the stone stairs, landing in a heap beside Martin's 1947 Chateau Cheval Blanc. Poetic. The safe. I needed the real will. The passports. The cash. But as I reached for it, my fingers brushed something else, a velvet box. Inside, a diamond pendant. Lillian's pendant. And tucked beneath it, a letter. Asterisk Dearest Evelyn. If you're reading this, I'm dead and you've survived. Forgive the tests. The mistrust. The lies. They were necessary. Clara and James killed Lillian. They will kill you too, unless you strike first. Use the tools I've left. Burn it all. Yours in life and death. Martin asterisk. The words blurred. He'd known. Known about Lillian. Known about them. And he'd let me marry him anyway. Let me believe I was the hunter, not the prey. The sirens stopped. Car doors slammed. I stuffed the letter into my bag, grabbed the cash and gun, and slipped into the secret passage behind the safe. A tunnel leading to the old stables. Martin's final gift. But as I crawled through the damp stone throat, a voice followed me, shrill and triumphant from the bedroom above. Find her. She's here somewhere. Clara. The game wasn't over. Chapter 6, The Puppeteer. The tunnel reeked of damp earth and rot, the walls pressing in like the ribs of some long-dead beast. I crawled on hands and knees, the Beretta scraping against stone, Martin's letter burning a hole in my bag. Clara and James killed Lillian. The truth should have shattered me. Instead, it crystallized into something cold and sharp. A weapon. The passage emptied into the derelict stables, the air thick with the ghosts of thoroughbreds and hay. Moonlight speared through cracked boards, illuminating a rusted pickup truck, Martin's hunting vehicle, kept for emergencies. The keys dangled from a nail, coated in cobwebs. I drove blind, headlights off, navigating backroads swallowed by fog. The safe house was a lakeside cabin Martin had bought under a shell company, a place he'd shown me once when he was drunk on power and Chivas Regal. For when the wolves come, he'd slurred, tracing the scar on my thigh, a souvenir from Clara's first attempt to scare me off. The cabin was a tomb frozen in time. Dust sheeted the furniture. A moth-eaten stag's head glared from the wall. In the bedroom, a safe behind a tattered landscape painting yielded cash, a second passport, Elena Marquez, photographer from Barcelona, and a dossier thicker than my guilt. I poured a finger of expired bourbon and spread the dossier on the kitchen table. Photos of Clara, age 16, standing over Lillian's bloated body in the pool. Audio transcripts, she's finally dead. Now it's just us, James. Bank statements showing monthly transfers from Clara to a private investigator, to dig up dirt on me. And a deed to the cabin signed by Martin, dated 2 days before his death. Burn it all, he'd written. But I wouldn't. Not yet. The burner phone Harris had carried buzzed in my pocket. Unknown number. I answered, silent. I know you're alive. Clara's voice, crisp as a razor. And I know where you are. I remained still, breath shallow. She laughed. The cabin, Evelyn? Really? Daddy took me there when I was 12. Taught me how to shoot. A pause. Taught me how to hide bodies. The line went dead. They'd come at dawn. I worked through the night. The cabin's porch became a war room. Tripwires strung with tin cans. Gasoline trails snaking through dry brush. The stag's head rigged with a flashbang grenade. And in the cellar, a surprise borrowed from Milo Voss's playbook. A propane tank jury-rigged to a motion sensor. But traps wouldn't be enough. Clara was a Blackwood. She'd expect fire. So I gave her something else. At first light, I dragged a rowboat to the lake's edge, filled it with my clothes, a wig, and the Elena Marquez passport. Shoved it into the water, a bullet hole in the hull. Let it sink halfway. Then I waited in the trees, the Beretta's scope trained on the road. They arrived in a black SUV, silent as a coffin. Clara stepped out first, her hair braided for war, a hunting rifle slung over her shoulder. James followed, his face a Frankenstein mask of stitches and fury. And behind them, Milo Voss, twitchy and gaunt, clutching a duffel bag. Check the cabin, Clara ordered. James kicked in the door, his boots crunching glass. Milo slunk behind him, tossing a flashbang inside. The explosion rattled the trees, crows scattering like ashes. Clear! James shouted. Clara lingered on the porch, scanning the lake. Her gaze snagged on the half-sunken boat. James, she barked. The lake! He lumbered to the shore, peering at the wreck. It's her! She's in the water! Clara raised her rifle, aiming at the boat. Then shoot her! But the evidence! Shoot her! James fired. The boat erupted in splinters. The wig floated to the surface, blonde strands swirling like dead seaweed. Clara lowered the rifle, satisfaction curdling her lips. Pathetic. That's when the stag's head exploded. The flashbang blew out the windows, sparks igniting the gasoline trails. Flames raced toward the propane tank. Clara dove for cover as the cabin detonated, the blast wave hurling James into the lake. Milo ran, not toward the chaos, but away into the woods. Smart rat. I tracked Clara through the scope. She crouched behind the SUV, face smeared with soot, screaming into her phone. She's here. Find her. Kill her. I fired. The bullet punched through the SUV's windshield, missing her by inches. She rolled, returning fire blindly, rounds chewing the trees above me. I moved, circling downwind. The forest was thick, the ground spongy with pine needles. Clara's breaths echoed ahead, ragged and furious. You think you've won, she shouted. You're just his whore. A tool he used to punish us. I stepped into a clearing. She stood across from me, rifle raised. He knew, I said. About Lillian. About you. Her finger twitched on the trigger. He chose me. I was his blood. His heir. Then you slithered in, legs open, whispering lies. You killed his wife. She wasn't my mother. The words tore from her, raw and bleeding. She was a placeholder. A weak, sniveling cow who cried every time he looked at another woman. I did him a favor. The admission hung between us, rancid and sweet. I lowered the Beretta. You're right. Her brow furrowed. Martin used me, I said. Just like he used you. But I'm done being his puppet. I tossed the dossier at her feet. Take it. The evidence, the photos, it's yours. I'll disappear. You'll never hear from me again. She hesitated, then crouched to retrieve it. Greed outmuscled caution. That's when I detonated the propane tank. The blast knocked her off her feet, the dossier scattering into the flames. I ran, the forest swallowing me whole, as Clara's screams chased the crows into the sky. Chapter 7, The Fire. The cabin's explosion painted the dawn in hues of hell, amber and ash, smoke clawing at the sky like the damned. I ran until my lungs burned, the Beretta a dead weight in my hand, Clara's screams echoing long after the flames faded. But survival was a temporary victory. The Blackwoods were hydras. Cut off one head, two more sprouted, venomous and vengeful. I holed up in a motel on the edge of the city, its neon sign flickering vac-ncy like a taunt. The room reeked of mildew and regret, the carpet sticky with the ghosts of a thousand bad decisions. I spread Martin's dossier on the bed, the photos of Clara and Lillian staring back, their faces warped by water damage and time. Burn it all, he'd written. But fire had a way of leaving scars. The knock came at midnight. Three raps, sharp as gunshots. I peered through the peephole. Milo Voss stood in the pallid glow of the hallway, his gaunt frame swimming in a trench coat two sizes too big. His eyes darted like cockroaches. Open up, he hissed. Or I'll tell Clara where you are. The chain rattled as I let him in. He lunged for the dossier, but I pressed the Beretta to his throat. Why'd you run? I demanded. He grinned, teeth yellowed and crooked. Same reason you did. Clara's a bad investment. He tossed a USB drive on the bed. Security footage from Blackwood Industries, timestamped the night of Martin's death. Clara, in a lab coat, slipping into the pharmaceutical vault. James, minutes later, pocketing a vial of potassium chloride. They framed you, Milo said. But you already knew that. I kept the gun steady. What do you want? A partnership. He licked his lips. Clara's got a safe in the old textile factory. Cash. Bonds. Enough to vanish forever. And you need me to open it, I guessed. He nodded. Biometric lock. Martin keyed it to his bloodline. Clara's thumbprint. James's retina. You get me in, I'll split it 60-40. I laughed. You'll shoot me the second that safe opens. Maybe. His grin widened. But you're out of options, aren't you? He was right. Clara owned the cops, the courts, the city. My face splashed across every screen, Black Widow killer. The cabin's ashes had only fed the myth. 70-30, I said. Deal. The factory loomed like a rotten tooth, its windows boarded, walls scabbed with graffiti. We slipped through a rusted service door, Milo's flashlight cutting through the gloom. The air stank of diesel and decay, the floor littered with syringes and rat carcasses. Third floor, Milo whispered. The stairs groaned underfoot, each creak a siren. Clara's safe room was a vault of steel and paranoia, the biometric panel glowing like a cyclops's eye. Milo gestured to the handprint scanner. Your turn. I pulled Clara's severed thumb from my pocket, souvenir from the cabin's blast, and pressed it to the screen. Jesus, Milo breathed. The door hissed open. Inside, stacks of cash, gold bars, and a wall of surveillance monitors. Feeds from the mansion, the police station, even the motel I'd just fled. Clara had been watching. Always watching. Milo lunged for the gold. Wait! I grabbed his arm. She'd never leave this unguarded. A shadow shifted. James emerged from the darkness, his face a grotesque mask of burns and stitches, a shotgun leveled at my chest. Miss me, stepmom? I fired first. The Beretta's report deafening in the confined space. James staggered, the shotgun blasting a hole in the ceiling. Plaster rained down as we scrambled, Milo grabbing cash, me diving behind the steel desk. James reloaded with feral precision. Clara said you'd come here. Said you're predictable. And you're pathetic, I spat. Her attack dog. Even after she left you to burn. He roared, charging. I vaulted the desk, the shotgun's buckshot shredding monitors into sparks. Milo hurled a gold bar at James's head, a hollow clang, and bolted. Traitor! I screamed after him. James tackled me, his hands closing around my throat. I'll make you scream, he snarled. Make you beg like Lillian did. His breath reeked of sepsis and madness. I groped for the Beretta, lost in the chaos, and found the USB drive instead. Jammed it into his bullet wound. He howled, recoiling. I grabbed the shotgun, pressed it under his chin. Say hello to Daddy. The blast painted the walls. Milo was gone, the cash and gold with him. But he'd missed the real prize. A deed to an offshore account, numbers scrawled in Martin's hand. $87 million. And a key taped to the back. Safety deposit box 214. The factory door creaked open. Clara stood silhouetted in moonlight, her rifle raised. You're late, I said, James's blood cooling at my feet. She stepped inside, her gaze flicking to the safe. Where's Milo? Gone. Like you'll be. She laughed, cold and hollow. You really think you've won? That money's cursed. Martin stole it from the mob. They'll hunt you to the ends of the earth. I leveled the shotgun. Then I'll spend every penny making sure you're in the ground first. We fired in unison. The world exploded. Chapter 8, The Witness. The gunshots tore through the factory like twin screams. Clara's bullet grazed my shoulder, spinning me into the steel safe door. Mine hit her thigh, painting the concrete crimson. We collapsed in unison, gasping, the acrid stench of gunpowder and blood thickening the air. She laughed first, a wet, ragged sound. Look at us. Two vipers biting each other's tails. I pressed a hand to my bleeding shoulder, the pain a white-hot brand. You missed on purpose. Her smirk was ghastly in the flickering monitor light. And you aimed for my leg. Sentimentality, Evelyn? Or just bad luck? Neither. I needed her alive. The safety deposit box key burned in my pocket, but Clara alone knew where box 214 was hidden. Martin's final joke, split the secret, split the prize. The factory door groaned. Milo slunk in, a duffel bag of stolen cash slung over his shoulder, his rat eyes gleaming. Ladies, hate to interrupt, but the cops are 5 minutes out. Clara's little friends at the precinct finally grew spines. Clara dragged herself upright, leaning on a shattered monitor. Get me out of here. I'll double whatever she's paying you. Milo glanced at me, feigning sympathy. Sorry, love. Business is business. He raised his pistol, but aimed at Clara. She froze. You're making a mistake. Nah, he cocked the hammer. You're bad for my health. I lunged, tackling him as he fired. The shot went wide, punching into a propane tank. The explosion hurled us apart, flames ripping through the factory. Milo's duffel bag caught fire, cash becoming ash. No, he wailed, batting at the flames. Clara limped toward the exit, clutching her leg. You'll burn for this, Evelyn. I crawled after her, the inferno chewing at my heels. Outside, dawn bled into the sky, sirens wailing in the distance. Clara vanished into an alley, but Milo lay trapped under a fallen beam, his leg mangled, the key to box 214 glinting in his fist. Help me, he begged, extending the key. It's yours. Just pull me out. I crouched, prizing the key from his fingers. Where's the box? Beneath the old courthouse. Stairs behind the records room. Please. The beam creaked, flames licking his coat. I walked away. His screams followed me down the alley. The courthouse was a mausoleum of marble and lies. I slipped in through a service entrance, the key biting into my palm. The records room stank of mildew and bureaucracy, floorboards groaning underfoot. Behind a shelf of dusty probate files, a hidden staircase spiraled into darkness. Box 214 was rusted, unremarkable. Inside, a flash drive, a diamond necklace, and a stack of letters bound in black ribbon. The first letter sucked the air from my lungs. Asterisk, dearest Evelyn. If you're reading this, I've failed to protect you. Clara and James killed Lillian. I knew. I let them. Her weakness was poisoning the family. But you are my masterpiece. My blade in the dark. The $87 million is yours. Use it to destroy what remains. And when you're done, remember. The game never ends. Yours. Martin Asterisk. The words blurred. He'd groomed me. Not as a wife, but as a weapon. A scalpel to excise his own rot. The flash drive held videos. Clara, age 14, holding Lillian's head underwater. James, 12, sobbing as he handed her the pills. Martin, watching from the shadows, smiling. And a final clip, Martin's labored breath as he typed the forged will, whispering, make them fight. Make them burn. The diamond necklace was Lillian's. A wedding gift. A shackle. I pocketed it all, my hands steady, my soul splintering. The mob found me at dusk. They cornered me in the parking garage of the abandoned mall. Three men in tailored suits, their silence more threatening than guns. The leader, a silver-haired ghost with eyes like smoked glass, stepped forward. Ms. Blackwood, you've been spending our money. I leaned against my stolen sedan, feigning boredom. Martin stole it first. He smiled, a thin crack in stone. We know. We let him. A man like Martin, useful, until he isn't. His gaze flicked to the bandage on my shoulder. Clara's work. She's persistent. Persistence is overrated. He tossed me a burner phone. You have 48 hours to return every penny. Or we'll collect in flesh. Starting with yours. They vanished like smoke. I dialed Clara. She answered on the first ring. Ready to die? Ready to deal, I said. The mob wants their money. I have a plan. Silence. Then, meet me at the docks. Warehouse 12. Come alone. The warehouse was a cathedral of rust and shadows, the stink of dead fish and diesel choking the air. Clara waited atop a shipping container, her rifle propped on a crate. Start talking, she said. I played the flash drive video of her drowning Lillian on max volume. The sound of her teenage laughter echoed off the metal walls. Her face paled. Where did you get that? Martin's goodbye gift. I pocketed the drive. The mob wants. 87. M. I. L. L. I. O. N. I. H. A. V. E. 87 million. Ahave 43.5. You steal the rest from James's offshore accounts. She sneered. James is dead. But his fingerprints aren't. I tossed her a latex mold of his thumb. You've got his passwords. His voice recordings. Drain his funds. Or I release the video to the press. She leveled the rifle. I could kill you now. I stepped closer. Then you'd face the mob alone. And we both know you're not half as clever without Daddy. The rifle trembled. Partners. I extended my hand. She spat at my feet. Until the money's cleared. We met at midnight in the cemetery where Martin and Lillian moldered side by side. Irony etched in stone. Clara arrived with a duffel bag of cash, her limp pronounced. James's accounts were cooperative. I handed her a flash drive, a fake, rigged to erase after one play. The original's in a safe place. Transfer the money, and it's yours. The mob arrived as we counted the cash. Not three men. 10. Silverhair smiled. Ladies, you shouldn't have troubled yourselves. Clara raised her rifle. I drew the Beretta. But the mob had snipers. The first bullet took Clara in the gut. The second my kneecap. As I fell, Silverhair crouched, his breath reeking of mint and malice. You didn't think we'd let you live, did you? He pressed his pistol to my temple. Then the world exploded. Chapter 9, The Final Testament. The gunshot never came. Instead, the night erupted into chaos. A Molotov cocktail shattered against the mob's sedan, flames engulfing the cemetery gates. Figures in black swarmed from the shadows, Milo's crew, armed with rifles and grudges. The mob scattered, Silverhair's snipers picking them off one by one as gunfire lit the graves like macabre fireflies. Clara writhed on the ground, her hands slick with blood, her rifle abandoned. I crawled toward her, my shattered knee grinding bone against earth. Why? She gasped, her breath bubbling red. Why save me? I gripped her collar, dragging her behind Lillian's headstone. I didn't. He did. Milo emerged from the smoke, his face a patchwork of burns, a flamethrower strapped to his back. Told you I'd come back, love. Clara's eyes widened. You're supposed to be dead. He grinned, tossing me a medkit. Evelyn's not the only one who fakes funerals. The morphine syringe trembled in my hand. Clara batted it away. No drugs. I'll die clear-eyed. Milo crouched, his flamethrower hissing. The mob's regrouping. We've got 5 minutes. I rifled through the medkit, stitching my knee with fishing line in fury. The courthouse. Box 214. Clara seized my wrist. What's in the box? Our legacy. We fled in Milo's armored van, the streets a blur of sirens and screams. Clara slumped against the window, her breath fogging the glass, her fingers pressed to her wound. You're a fool, she muttered. Martin played us all. I clutched the flash drive, the diamond necklace cutting my palm. He loved you. In his twisted way. She laughed, blood speckling her teeth. He loved winning. Just like you. The courthouse loomed, its columns lit by emergency flares. Milo kicked open the service entrance, his flamethrower scorching a path through the rubble. Box 214 was gone. In its place, a note in Martin's handwriting. Congratulations, Evelyn. Now finish it. A key card fell from the envelope. Blackwood Industries Vault B. Clara sagged against the wall. He's still here. Pulling strings. Milo hoisted her over his shoulder. Move. Or I leave you for the rats. Vault B was a mausoleum of secrets. Shelf after shelf of binders labeled Lillian, Clara, James, Evelyn. surveillance photos, medical records, bank transfers. Martin's life's work, our lives dissected and cataloged. At the center, a pedestal held a vintage tape recorder. I pressed play. If you're hearing this, you've earned the truth. Martin's voice, crisp and cold. Clara, my daughter, my greatest disappointment. Evelyn, my blade, my masterpiece. You think this feud began with Lillian? It began with me. My father poisoned my mother. I smothered him in return. The Blackwoods are a cancer, and I've relished watching you cut it out. One limb at a time. Clara sank to her knees. He wanted us to destroy each other. The tape continued. The $87 million is a lie. A decoy. The real fortune is buried with Lillian. Dig her up if you dare. And Evelyn. The arsenic in my brandy? I added it myself. A slower death, for a better show. Static swallowed his laughter. Milo whistled. Bastard. Clara stared at the vault's ceiling, tears carving paths through the blood on her face. All this for nothing. I opened Lillian's binder. Photos of her, alive, smiling, pregnant. A birth certificate. Clara Blackwood. Father, unknown. You're not his, I whispered. Clara snatched the binder, her hands shaking. No. No. He raised me. He chose me. He used you, Milo said. Same as her. The vault door shuddered. Silverhair's voice boomed through the intercom. Last chance. Open up, or we flood it with gas. Clara met my gaze. For the first time, no hatred. Just exhaustion. End it. I handed her the flamethrower. We stood back to back, Clara torching the shelves, Milo rigging C4 to the supports. The mob's drills whined against the door. How long? I shouted over the flames. 2 minutes. Milo tossed me a detonator. The tunnel's clear. Go. Clara didn't move. I'm staying. I grabbed her arm. No. She wrenched free, her eyes reflecting the inferno. This is where I belong. With him. With her. The vault door cracked. Silverhair's snarl cut through the smoke. Burn them. Clara shoved me into the tunnel. Run. Milo dragged me away as the charges detonated, the blast wave hurling us into the river. The courthouse collapsed, flames devouring the sky, the mob screams swallowed by the roar. Clara's laughter echoed in the ashes. Epilogue. The papers called it a gas leak. A tragedy. The end of the Blackwood dynasty. They were wrong. In a safety deposit box in Zurich, a final will waits. Forged in Clara's name, leaving everything to a nameless beneficiary. A ghost. A shadow. Me. I sit on a beach in Bali, the diamond necklace around my throat, Milo's body rotting in a Bangkok gutter. The game never ends. But now. Now I play alone. The end.